I wanted to start out by asking you if you ever knew anything about your grandparents or of your family history before you were born.
Not before I was born.
Well,
but
well, I mean,
you,
like
my
your
grandparents. Well, my grandparents raised me.
Uh-huh.
See.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't never stay with my mother. Sometimes I wouldn't see her for 3 years at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. But I was in a little country town in Italy, Texas, way out in the country, and she raised me. And until I got grown and had kids, first kid was Jean, and I wasn't working nowhere then but in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be out there at 4 o'clock in the morning with a sack. And when I was 12, then I used to pick 500 people right after 12 o'clock in the day and then go and cook for 15 people and all like that.
So, were you born in Texas?
I was born in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think the little house is sitting there on Fairmont now.
Mm-hmm. So
but my grandmother came and got me when I was nothing but a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't understand. I just wonder, I said, how did she come there and get me and didn't know nothing about the city, you know? But I don't know nothing about all that. She did, and I've been with her and all the time until I did move to Dallas, and I stayed with my aunts.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, until my stepfather, he told her, well, you're just going to have to take Vidal, because Ella Mae, that was my aunt, said she wants her to want you to keep her. She's your child, and she wants you to keep her, because I was just washing for some people downtown, and that's the only little money I could make with the baby, see, and that's why she wanted Eva to take me. That was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started staying with them, and then after I got a job at Hockaday School when the kids was small.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on till I come out of here in 41.
Mm-hmm. What year were you born?
January 11, 1912.
1912? And you were born, so you were born at home or?
Oh yeah,
uh-huh.
At home, but I had a doctor.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't at a hospital, but I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was no, it wasn't. I didn't know it was a hospital there, but I think I was born at a lady's house called Viola, because she named me Vidal.
Mm-hmm. And was she
she was a nurse. She was, but she didn't. My doctor was named Dr. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He died too, and she's dead too, this woman, but I had a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandparents are living in the country?
Yeah, because she said, she told me she come and got me. I hadn't quit nursing then.
Mm-hmm. What were your grandparents'
names? Allie Jefferson and Silas Jefferson. That's my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. And were they your mother's parents then?
Yeah, that was my mother's parents. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you know any of your father's people? Or?
My father's people? Well, no, I didn't never see my father until 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And that same year, around Christmas, he passed.
Mm-hmm.
See, the first time I found him, I wrote a man worked at North America, and he told me, he said, your father is the only colored man living in that terrace. And he said, and I'm going to look in the phone book and give you the number and everything. And I wrote a special, and I never could hear from the special. So I got up and called the number. And he said, oh, why are you just now calling me? So why? I said, that girl, she go downstairs, and she was calling herself his daughter. And she tore up the letter, see, because she didn't want him to have another daughter.
Mm.
And then he wanted me, he sent me some money or something to come to see him. And I went there that year. And they just stayed around and they didn't want me to never go over there without some of them with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come on back. Oh, they were so nice. I come on back home. And then in that falling, was it December, I believe he died in December or something. And this girl, she was out of town, but she played like she was there all the time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got ready and went back up there. And, oh, they treated me like I just had to get out of there. And I was getting me a hotel room, and I had went downtown to this attorney. And he said, well, why didn't you tell me your father had this money when you were down here? I said, well, I had never seen my father before. And I always had prayed and wanted to see him, just to see what he looked like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go and ask him about money and all that stuff, and just had seen the man. And he had taken sick before I got there, because they say he was running, trying to get his... Because he's so proud, you know, and he likes to dress real sharp and everything. And he'd run to get his teeth fixed and all that stuff till he just made himself sick. And I'd call back over the next day or something, and he'd say, I thought you were going to come over here by yourself. They let this little boy, and he had so much sense. I guess that's the reason they'd send him with me everywhere. If I'd go over there, he'd sit right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of mess it was. And then this probate mess, I just got beat out of everything because nobody to tell me nothing about probate. And I fooled with an attorney here called Barnes for 5 years. That man, he'd tell me, oh, I sent him to Dallas to carry my mother and them to court because that's common law wife and husband down there. And that's why they was together, my father and mother. That's the way I heard about it. And then that I would have been this other girl, and they were saying, oh no, this is not her father. She's no little happy as a father. They were sitting in the funeral home then when he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let me put no money on nothing, and she wouldn't let him sign my name on nothing in the bank, because he said, I want to take you down. I was going to have him take you downtown because he had so many bonds in the bank in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And then and I went out to the job at the Cutterhead, I'm trying to think of this, you know, the not packing house, what is it? Is that what?
Cutterhead
in Kansas City. You know, they got different. He'd worked there 30 or 40 years or something, and he didn't make that money out in the credit union to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But this insurance man had to go out at his house and sit on side of the bed, and she wouldn't let him make no X for me on nothing but one little old check they had. And that insurance man said, oh, that made me so mad, Ms. Drake, I don't know what to do, but what could I do? I'm just insurance come to pay off the claim, but why she wouldn't let him sign your name to none of that, I don't know. And so it just was a mess. And so after I seen this and I went and got a Stern and Blankley, and it was so late when I got them on the count. Vaughn, he was going to say that I owed him $600 and some, and that's what I sent him to Kansas City. His father used to be the judge there, but he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody on my case passed, even the probate man and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still telling me, and he cannot, you cannot file a probate in Los Angeles for Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And no, well, an attorney shouldn't lead you wrong. And then he thought I didn't have all the receipts, so I went to Stern and Blankley, so they wrote and said, you just done probably waited so late. I said, why you didn't come early? Well, I didn't know what to do. they give me this guy, and he'd been lost his license anyway. So I went there, and when he died, well, they had this girl, this woman, she'd always go to work, and she had five men dead, and this same undertaker, and they say the people that knew me by my hairdresser, I was going to then. She said, "You're not gonna get no money for out of them people, cause at undertaker Sterling's undertaker and Vaughn, they probably bought Vaughn's out and say you, I bet you don't get a penny." And she was right, cause that old undertaker didn't want me to give no money on his barrel or nothing, you know. I had money to pay my part of it, you know, and he put an old suit on him and old rusty tie clamp. I know he would have died, and he just got through showing me new clothes. He had Baldwin coats and everything, you know, mm-hmm. And then they put him in. I said, you should be ashamed putting that old pin up in his tie clamp like that, old rusty and double-breasted suit when they wasn't wearing them then. I said, "No, you know what that man got." I said, "You know he got plenty of clothes." And that woman, she locked him up in that house. And he was going with, he lacked young women, they say. So this girl stayed across the street. She come in there and broke that door down. And the man, I guess he died there. Before I got there, see, they... You're not supposed to touch no furniture or nothing in that house when somebody passed. But it was all down, and her husband, they left us there, so this other husband of hers, he was sick. And I wonder, did he die? So he said, "These people, I wouldn't stay here, Miss Drake, because I could hear the grandmother," and she told me herself, the girl, my old grandmother, she's calling every 15 minutes. And I had one and paid $5 or something, bought them some breakfast, fixing to have breakfast. I wouldn't eat nothing, and I just knew, listen at that woman, and she's believing all that old hoodoo stuff. Said, "Let me get out of this house." And they put that furniture all down there in her house. Mm-hmm. And you see, you weren't supposed to move that. And this girl, she looked up under the mattress somewhere and got $1,000 out from under the mattress. Mm-hmm. He didn't have no property. He didn't care about that. All he had was money. Mm-hmm. And he had it in the bank, and all $500 bonds, they say he had so many of them, and that's what she was signing. So, and every time he'd have to go to town, they'd carry him, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, but if I just said, well, mm-hmm. I didn't feel, and my, the judge would die. Now he had his assistant, and he come call me through the night. Like, you must have want to protest this, because they gonna have court tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, if it had been anybody, any lawyer with any sense, he'd first told me that he couldn't file, you know, no probate here in Los Angeles, cause it's against the law here. But, and I wrote to the bar and asked them, why would your people in your field would have to, you depending on them to tell you? All he'd have to say, "I can't do it this way. I can get your attorney there in Kansas City and do it." No, he was just doing it himself and getting his money, and I'd send him home because his mother lived in Kansas City, and then his daddy had died, and he used to be the judge, so he's a little attorney himself, and I don't know what come of him, because mm-hmm. I just can't stand him. I think all his help quit right after I went through this, and he done carried me down here to Los Angeles court. I got all them papers, carried my mother down there, and went through court. Now, he doing all of that now. The judge said whatever he got on them papers, mm-hmm. but all of that was just phony. Now, if you don't, if somebody have to, you have to trust somebody, you know. I don't know about no attorneys and things, you know, getting no attorney to do nothing. And I just didn't know nothing about nothing like that.
So just outside of seeing your father that one time, you really didn't get to know
much about him at all. Because I stayed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I got hungry. I said 3 weeks. I think I even got the checks and the leave I had going. I just keep so much stuff, and I've been intending to make scrapbooks out of things. But about North America, a lot of that I've been going to make my book up, but it just looks like I haven't had time. I was going to buy one of those large ones down here at that place in Englewood down there. You know, they sell great big ones, you know. I should want to get that fixed before I die. I guess.
What did your... Did your grandparents do for a living?
What did he do?
Yeah.
He worked at that packing house, but my mother didn't work any place. My mother, no, I didn't know much about her. See, she wasn't with me. But when I did start staying with her, when I first seen him, now he was sitting across the street in a swing with his friend before he died. But I was out there chopping off and cleaning off her yard and all that stuff. That was my mother then. She's come to Dallas to live. And I didn't know nothing about it, and she didn't never know herself. That was him sitting over there in the swing until he told me what day he was there. And I just had went to Kansas City then. And he said he was sitting over there in that swing. And I saw the two men sitting over there in the swing. But what was that about them people? I just know the man was sick and that was one of his best friends. And one of his friends worked at the plant with him. He wrote a letter for me, too, that saying all he ever talked about was me. And say all he knew of is just me, you know, myself, by the shepherd. And so that's all he talked about, because he had never seen me, and I had never seen him, and I wanted... would come of the man. I said, well, nobody knows about where that man is. And I was so, I just got to talking to Raven, because they stayed in Kansas City. And he said, I know that man. He's the only one staying, that Terry's. 17-something of that. I ain't got all that. But, and he sent me his picture, and I sent that picture. I don't know what they done with the picture. I just said, Lord, especially people believing all that old kind of junk. They do anything but the picture. I didn't see it. I don't know. I ain't seen no picture no more.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to her.
How old were you when you went back to stay with your mother?
Well, let me see. I think, let me see who was born then. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think now. When did I go? Guess I was up in my 20-something, because Gene was born then, and he, by 1928.
So it was after you already had
and
your own?
Charlene was born in 1930. And it wasn't a year and a little part or something like that. I'm trying to think, when did I go back there? Because I had lived in Italy a long time. Gene was, and then Charlene was born right after Gene, and I still was in Italy. And I went back to school a while. And my aunt, she'd come down, and she stayed in Italy a while, and she wanted to go to school, so she went to school, and I would help her, you know. School was right across in front of my where we was living, you know.
Well, so your growing up here is really, I mean, if you were 20, that was you were with your grandparents throughout the time you were...
And then when we all moved to Dallas, my grandmother, and that's why she died down on State Street at my aunt's house, 2800 State Street. I think she's 52 or some years old. The kids were so tight. They were little kids, like, I guess, 2 and 3 and a half or something like that. Because little boy, he'd always want to stay with my grandmother. He'd leave me, my mother, anybody when night started to fall, and he wants to go back there, you know. And I remember going, walking down with him and standing upside the bed, and he wanted to be getting in the bed. And I said, no, she's too sick. I just want you to see you can't stay, get in the bed with Mama tonight. She died sometime that night. And she had a ulcerated stomach on the kind of, you know, people don't know, didn't know nothing about no all them dentists and things then. Look like the older people. When you raise up in the country and...
Did they work, now your grandfather, did he live out on the farm?
He was the farming going on.
Did he have his own land or did he...
No, he was farming for Mr. Eason, called Mr. Eason Farm.
Mm-hmm. What part of Texas is that in?
It is 45 miles from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. 45 miles from Dallas. I think 15 or something walks a hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And you go right through it. When it's 45 miles from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved away from before we moved up to Italy in that little house. It was so far in the country I couldn't go to school. See, my aunt, the two aunts, they was home then, but we was all with their mother.
Mm-hmm.
I was still with the grandmother, see,
mm-hmm.
and my two aunts. Because the youngest one is 3 years and some older than me. And they could go to school in the wagon or something, and then sometime they'd walk it, but I was too little to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, the first place... that you were at, your grandfather was working there on Mr. Eason's farm.
Mm-hmm.
And were there any other children in the house besides you?
But my two aunts.
And they were both young?
Yeah, they were young.
Uh-huh.
And see, one was 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And they was, because they run off and married during that time.
Mm-hmm.
One run off to Walk's Head, the oldest one. And this other one, I'm off and married a fella.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to put me, because I didn't know nothing about she. She was ironing, and all I know, then went out that back door down that creek and caught that and blue bonnet in there. You know, they had the blue bonnet in there. Trying to think what year was that. And I didn't know nothing about her going. I'm always down on the creek fishing or something or other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got big enough to be picking that cotton, you going to be out there in that field. That grandfather going to carry you to the field, but he wasn't doing nothing for me. I don't know what I was working for. They'd give me prizes for picking so much cotton, you know, at 12 years old and stuff when I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you really started?
Picking cotton?
Mm-hmm.
No, I picked the cotton when I was about 10 and... like that, but when I could pick so much, I was about 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and could chop cotton too, so every time I'd go to the field, well, they wouldn't, all right, they'd call him Silas, all right, you let that gal chop up my cotton. He said, just give her a chance. If she chop up your cotton, I'll pay for it. Okay, you just gonna be on that money. And some of that cotton, the Johnson grass was taller than me, and people would be falling out. You know, the white people, they couldn't stand that heat like colored people. You know, the skin is mold. And I'd be right out there in that field chopping that cotton. You got to save them, get all that Johnson grass out around that little piece of cotton, and boy, it'd be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it come time to pick cotton, I was in the field. Now that's before my aunt and them run off. And this cotton was so pretty and green.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, this man with hard so many hands, you see. And everybody quit the field because so many snakes in there. But I couldn't. See, Geneva and them quit. They left and went on out of that field, and I think that's when they run off after that. But that just left me, and I had to stay right there with Pop and them. And then I'll go pick up one of those snakes, and I had 100 and something in my sack, and I throwed it on the on my shoulder and run to that wagon, just hauling with that 103 pounds. That's what it was, 103 pounds of cotton.
With 103 pounds of cotton, you're running
to the old wagon while you weigh the cotton and empty it. See, you have the end of your sack, a 9-yard sack, and you have that end tied. See, so you open that end up and lay it across your shoulder. Well, it would always be some men to empty your sack, mm-hmm. but as long as you pulling it, you don't realize you're having that much. And then it's so hard for some people to pick cotton, just like I tell them I could do more with a cotton sack than I could in North America, because I could laugh and talk with you all day and be done pick 500 or 600 pounds, mm-hmm. and wouldn't have no dirty cotton either. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't see that, and some of the men would get so angry at me, you know, because I could pick cotton like that. And I don't. Oh, boy. And then when I come to Dallas, well, my mother was there then. My mother and my stepfather was the cause of her taking me back in, you know. I had heard that she had given me to mama. I don't know about that, but now I can't turn, for she just loved me and everybody around there. When they saw me coming back home, she, oh, if I had a daughter, you ought to be proud of your daughter, Miss Eva. If I had a daughter like that, I'm telling you. But that's just the way it was. And so I worked at Hockaday School, I think. How many years? I said 7 years, I think. I worked at Hockaday School and then come out here to go to North America.
So when you
come
were
out here in May, yeah, because I'm the last one to leave the school. So I think it was come right on out when I could. I think it was in July when I started sometime or another when I started working there. I believe. Oh, it was in March, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to think, how was I out of school? The school was always out there early, you know.
Mm-hmm.